It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome to the National Security Hour on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network on iHeartRadio, where you're going to hear from military and intel experts, the voice of freedom and the outlaw truth. I'm your host, Lieutenant Colonel Sarge Singeri, U.S. Army retired, and the host for today's program, a member of the board of the National Security Hour, and also host for the podcast New Paradigms with Sarge Singeri that you could listen to and watch on Right America Media. My guest is a returning guest today, James Rogowski. James is a senior advisory board member for the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and also the director of research for international health for our company. James is a researcher and an author and natural health proponent. In March of 2022, James uncovered documents regarding proposed amendments to the international health regulations and was instrumental in raising awareness about them, which resulted in amendments being rejected. James is now doing everything possible to expose the World Health Organization's agenda behind their proposed pandemic treaty and the WHO's ongoing attempts to amend the international health regulations. James' vision for the future can be summarized by one phrase: out of the WHO and in with the new. James, it's good to have you back on the program again.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm on fire today, so look out, everybody. There's been a couple of things that have just really chapped my hide, and so I'll let you start off with the question, but then I'm just going to go off on a rant.
Well, that's okay. I'd rather have you do that because, look, I know we're getting close to the May deadline. I know that the public comments are now open for folks to send their comments in to the CDC, but you got the floor, buddy. What's going on?
Okay, so just to give everyone a little bit of context, this is in regards to the negotiations that have been going on for well over a year at the World Health Organization. They're negotiating a brand new agreement, which most people call a pandemic treaty, but that's not really accurate. It's designed to be a framework convention, and names matter. A framework convention is within the purview of the WHO to negotiate. They did it once before, about 20 years ago, with the Framework Convention for the Control of Tobacco. But the one that most people are probably familiar with came through the United Nations, and that's the Framework Convention for Climate Change. The way a framework convention works is that they set up a framework, just sort of an outline, but then they set up a conference of the parties, a bunch of unelected, unaccountable, unknown bureaucrats that nobody gets to vote for. And they have a party once a year. They go someplace nice and they meet and they decide the fate of the future of the world without your input. Now, if you just think about the Framework Convention for Climate Change from 1992, our Senate gave 2/3 consent. We're a party to it. And so every year when the conference of the party gets together, whatever they decide, we're obligated to follow. So if you like how the Framework Convention for Climate Change is working out, you'll probably love the potential Framework Convention for Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response. But I'm being facetious. A framework convention is the last thing anyone in the world should ever agree to. It's like signing a contract with somebody, and at the last minute, they put a ream of blank paper, bind it into the contract, and they say, hey, just sign it. Don't worry. We'll have our people fill in the blanks later. No. The answer is no. The other negotiations are different. They have different rules, a different group, different, it's amendments to an existing international health regulations that goes all the way back to 1969. Now, these negotiations are operating a little bit differently than the new agreement. And what's happening with that is about a year and a half ago, 94 member nations of the WHO submitted 197 pages with over 300 amendments to an 80-some page document. And they revealed it in December of 2022. In February of 2023, they had a bunch of experts give a review report, a final report from the review committee, and almost nobody has really paid attention to that review committee report because it altered the course by saying to the countries, hey, you know, we know you want to do this and we know you want to do that, but the WHO doesn't really have authority to do those things. You're going to have to make some changes. And then they went completely secret. Well, about a month ago, I got very lucky. I was looking for something else on the internet. I came upon a civil society organization's website. They're part of the inner circle. They get to attend some of these meetings. And they made the mistake of publishing a working draft of the negotiating text of the amendments that they had all been trying to keep secret. So a month ago, I published what should have been an absolute bombshell. It was like the Holy Grail for me, but I might as well have dropped it into a black hole, right? Silence. And so what is in that document, we'll talk about in a little bit, but here's what is really just chapping my hide. The Office of Global Affairs in the United States, they're a part of the Department of Health and Human Services, a month ago published in the Federal Register they call it a listening session, right? You can sign up to speak at the listening session, or you can send in written public comment to their email address. Now, I'm not going to give you their email address because they have a certain protocol. You have to put certain text in the subject and you have to do certain things. If I speak it over this radio show, everybody's going to get it wrong. So all of that information is on my Substack, jamesroguski.substack. Go there and do it right. It's very, very easy. And what I've done is I've gone on to the Health and Human Services government website, and I took the time to get the email address for every member of the Office of Global Affairs that's listed on the government website. So you can send an email to all 100 plus people who work there. We're going to get their attention. They opened the door for public comment, and we're going to drive a freight train of comments into their offices. They are going to know that we are not happy. And here's what I'm not happy about in addition to what's in the negotiations. When they published the listening period announcement in the Federal Register, they didn't give us new documents. They gave us the old document from a year ago. And interestingly enough, the deadline to submit written comments is April 17th. Well, the intergovernmental negotiating body that's negotiating the framework convention is going to be publishing, according to them, a new version of the framework convention conveniently on the 18th. So they want us to comment on documents that we're not able to see. And that is just absolutely unacceptable. Now, what is the big secret? I did a FOIA request back on January 28th because in regards to the amendments to the international health regulations, there's a rule, Article 55 in the regulations that says, you know, any nation can submit amendments, but they have to do it 4 months in advance of the May meeting. The assembly meets once a year. This year, it starts on May 27th. So the deadline for them to publish and make, you know, public the proposed amendments was January 27th. Well, back in October, their working group stated very clearly that they knew that they were not going to meet their deadline. And sure enough, they didn't meet their deadline. They met in early February. And the document that was on the screen February 9th at the end of their meetings is the document that I have found and I've made available on rejecttheamendments.com. So you can read the leaked document that they don't want you to see. And maybe in the next segment, we'll talk about why they don't want you to see it. But at this point in time, they have failed to meet their deadline, but they openly conspired in their meeting. Yeah, deadline, schmedline. They're just going to keep negotiating. And ultimately, they were hoping to pull a Nancy Pelosi trick where, you know, at the middle of the assembly, they drop the final version down and say something like, oh, just pass it. You could read it later. Well, I got news for them. I've already read, you know, the working draft, and we all need to get up to speed with the new version and let the Office of Global Affairs know that we are not happy about it. Now, here's the interesting part. The way they structured this, they did not say that you have to be a United States citizen in order to send them an email. Anybody on the planet can send an email to the Office of Global Affairs and the Department of Health and Human Services, and it's legitimate because the United States is, you know, very much a controlling factor in these negotiations. And as the United States goes, so go these negotiations, because where do you think the money is going to come from? And so everyone on the planet has a right to voice their opinion. But what I encourage everybody to do is send in, you know, whatever it is you want to say, but take the time to look through the information that I provide on jamesrogowski.substack.com, because the amount of misinformation that is out on the internet is amazing. And so make sure that you're looking at the newest versions of the documents, because they're changing all the time. And what has happened is a lot of people, I'll give you a visual scenario, if I could, Sargas. Imagine you had a dog, and he's out in the yard chasing a squirrel. And the squirrel runs up into the tree that the dog knows the squirrel's always hanging out in that tree. And so the dog is barking at the squirrel up in the tree. But the squirrel goes up to the top of the tree, runs across the treetops, and he's off in the neighbor's yard by now. And your dog is still barking up the wrong tree. Well, what has happened is the originally submitted documents are long gone. What was submitted a year and a half ago, they've gone through a year and a half of negotiations. People are still looking at the old documents, barking up an old tree, falling for the decoy. And the new documents are obviously different. And so don't complain to the Office of Global Affairs about the decoy. Complain about the newest version of what we have available, and complain, why aren't we allowed to see the status at the moment? How do you expect us to comment on something that you won't let us see?
I had a question for you on this one. A couple of things. The first one I guess I have is, I know that yesterday I was asked to sign a petition. It was the last day for those 180,000 letters for 180 days. And I was in the reference of the hostages that are still in Gaza. And it was very simple. You go in, you hit a link. It gives you an opportunity to put your name, information in there. And also at the same time, if you want, you could put comments. Is there anything like that that has been created or you've created that might exist for those who may not understand how to negotiate through the process of those emails, that they can maybe go ahead and basically click on a link and add documents in there or add their name to a letter that might be able to be sent automatically to these particular individuals that are whose emails are available for the Office of Global Affairs?
I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, okay? But those on the receiving end, okay, they have sophisticated systems. And when you send a cookie cutter email with the same subject and the same body, it all stacks up. And they might get a million of them and they go, okay, we got a million, you know, automated emails Big whoop-de-doo. You, the people listening to this, need to vent what your beliefs and feelings are. Now, I want to caution everybody, keep it civil. The last thing you want to do is do anything that would be seen as anything other than civil discourse about the facts of the documents. Keep it civil. But the point is, it's your opinion, not somebody else's opinion. Now, I did, on my article, write a template that you can start with so that you get all of the facts straight. Facts, you know, are wonderful, but the passion of your opinion needs to be overlaid on those facts. One of the problems with those automated email sending things, you push a button and it goes off, is oftentimes they limit the size of the document. Well, this would be sent from your email account. You could, if you act quickly enough, have an opportunity to speak at their listening session. That's not going to work with an automated system. You know, they've got to communicate with you. And so what I encourage everyone to do is you can call me if you have any questions. 310-619-3055. If you missed that phone number, it's on all my articles. Now is the time to take action because your silence is viewed as consent.
Well, definitely. Silence is viewed as consent and is unfortunate. They constantly throw regulation or requirements at us, thinking that that's going to confuse us. And when the second you make them do their homework, it becomes time consuming for them. They realize that, you know, there's an actual individuals in this country that actually do their homework and are actively participating in the process of making sure that we make the decisions for the that are best for the country, not just individuals in those decision making positions. I want to remind our audiences that America Outlaw Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. I will be back for the second portion of our segment with James Rogowski.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back to America Outlaw Talk Radio on the National Security Hour on the American Outlaw Talk Radio Network on iHeartRadio. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangiri. Again, I am your host for today's discussion with James Rogowski, who's a Senior Advisory Board Member and a Director of Research for International Health for Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. James, I know we talked about how the timeline is being shifted now, specifically by the WHO to try to meet the requirements of what they're going to have basically to pass in May. I do know that there's other approaches that other organizations are taking. As an example, I have a resolution for medical freedom and individual liberty where another organization has put together, and this is being sent to basically all the Republican Party, county Republican Party leadership to sign. And in this particular case, this is the one out of North Carolina. It would be the one that is going to be signed by the chairman and the secretary for the Scotland County Republican Party. When it comes to what we're trying to do, is there anything that we can do, even if the May deadline passes? Is there anything that could be put on a ballot? Maybe it's too late to try to get, depending on how many signatures you need to have at your various different state levels, to try to get something on the ballot in the presidential election to address this? Or is this something that has to just be done through the system processes that are made available for us to at least be able to vent and express our frustrations from the American side to hopefully see if the institutions are going to actually listen to us rather than go after the dollar that is going to probably force them to do what the WHO wants them to do anyway?
This is complicated. And so I believe we've got two more segments. And if we can, let's break the two segments in so that in this segment, we'll talk about the amendments. And in the next segment, we'll talk about the treaty, because what's been going on is everybody gets them all mushed together and then they wind away, you know, wind up confused, right? So in this segment, we'll talk about what's in the amendments. And the short answer to your question is this requires public uproar and outrage. This requires people to comprehend what is going on. And I'm certain that once you understand what's going on, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, or you know, you're in a coma somewhere. So let me explain what they're trying to do with the amendments by starting with what they are not. Okay. Now, the document that you mentioned, by all means, send it to me. We talked about that before we started recording. I'm working on something very similar. Love to work with the folks in North Carolina about health freedom. And they're it appears they are taking the right approach. And so I'm going to talk about something that's not got anything to do with the WHO. And I can summarize it in, I think, one sentence. Over the last 4.5 years, your local tyrants did not need any WHO amendments to the international health regulations. They did not need a new framework convention for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. They managed to abuse your rights and freedoms all by themselves by overstepping their authority, by using fraudulent information and coercion and all of the many things that they did. And the reason they got away with it is people, number one, were confused. They were misinformed. They were lied to. They were propagandized. They were coerced. But they also didn't understand how the laws in their location, their jurisdiction, wherever you may live, city, county, state, and so forth, have been corrupted. And so what the folks that you mentioned are doing is laudable. There's a city near me, Palmdale, California. 2 years ago, the people got together and they won over their city council and passed a city ordinance that said in the town of Palmdale or city of Palmdale, there shall be no vaccine or mask mandates. So what's needed for your personal freedom, it's really got not anything to do with the WHO. That is a local issue. You got to take it to the streets in your job, in your city, in your school, you know, wherever. So let me talk about the big deal of what is in the amendments to the international health regulations. The international health regulations, their core purpose is to notify the world if something weird is going on. You've got some kind of outbreak or some increase in disease or something happens. They're supposed to make it so that nations are very transparent. Soon as something happens that meets certain criteria, they tell the WHO. WHO spreads the word. And if it's really, really bad, you know, they declare it to be a public health emergency of international concern. But the international health regulations are also a sort of a gentleman's agreement amongst the nations that they're not going to shut down commerce. Now, this is backwards from what happened. And so the international health regulations from 2005 were supposed to encourage nations to not panic. But obviously, that's not what happened in 2020. The amendments that have been revealed that are part of the negotiating text, they're still going to be negotiating from April 22nd to the 26th. You know, they're going right up as long as they can to keep this secret. What I discovered in the negotiations or in the document is that the amendments to Article 24 and Article 27 add in additional language that would enable each nation to quarantine international travelers. And the key phrase in there is as appropriate. I'll let you run wild in your mind as to how various people around the world would determine how to work with the phrase, you can quarantine people and quarantine conveyances. A conveyance is a cruise ship or an airplane or a bus or a train or a car or whatever, you know, some sort of vehicle as appropriate. Now, it also has in the international health regulations a crystal clear violation of what people are aware of with the Nuremberg codes, where it says that nations who are protecting their borders, as is their national sovereign right, can compel travelers to be given a medical examination, and it could be an invasive medical examination, to be vaccinated, to be compelled to do some sort of prophylaxis or prevention, or to be isolated and quarantined. So a lot of people are mixing up all of these things. The amendments to the international health regulations are a really sneaky trick that has, you know, they're attempting to play on us because it's not an attack on national sovereignty. It's an expression of national sovereignty. They know a lot of people in the United States are upset about the porous nature of our southern border. So they're trying to make it so that nations can abuse the rights of people who are traveling legitimately by requiring them to get jabbed with something that doesn't work. The jabs don't stop infection. They don't stop transmission. They cause immune dysfunction and disease and disability and death. And the tests are fraudulent. So if you're traveling lawfully, they want to have you under their control, where if they deem it to be appropriate, they can demand and compel you to do prophylaxis, a medical exam, or a vaccination, if you want to call it that, and or put you in quarantine. Now, this is not an attack on sovereignty. It's using national sovereignty to abuse the bodily autonomy and rights and freedoms of you when you are traveling to another country. Once you land on their territory, Constitution and the Bill of Rights are not going to protect you.
Well, the other issue here is an advantage for them to say, look, you know, if you pass this, it will alleviate a lot of the issues that you have with your porous borders, you know. And people are going to buy into it, say, well, you know, if you pass the international health regulations, that might be a fix, instead of just going back and saying, why isn't the executive branch enforcing the laws of the nation that are on the books to begin with? But nothing surprises me when it comes to the dollars specifically that individuals are vying for and are trying to basically have in this particular decision-making process. Now, let me ask you, James, what is we could do two things. We could talk about another segment as far as the other separate piece of discussion, but or we could bring it in here and then have a discussion on our final segment as to, what do we need to do as citizens before the April 17th deadline or April 18th for them is concerned? And what is the feedback that you may have received from congressional support that can address some of these issues? We could do it here in this segment, or we could do it in the following segment.
Yeah, let's keep this separate so that we continue to talk about the amendments to the international health regulations, because almost everybody for the last year has commingled all of the different details between the amendments, which are on a different track, and the treaty, which is a totally different thing altogether. So in regards to what's in the amendments, the next negotiations, as I said, are April 22nd to the 26th. If you go to jamesroguski.substack.com and you see public comment article that you can give a public comment, I've written a template with all of the pertinent facts, all of the details, so that people get their facts straight. But what is needed is for people to add in your opinion about those facts. It's very important that each individual person express their unique, you know, take on it. And what I encourage everyone to do in addition to that, since this email would be coming from your personal email account, you would be sending an email directly to the people involved, and there are hundreds of these people, you can engage in a conversation with them. One of the things that I encourage people to do is take the time. You have time. It's not like the deadline is, you know, in an hour or something like that. You've got a couple of weeks. Take the time to engage, learn the details of what we know to be in these amendments, and get out your phone or your camera and take a photograph or a video of a section of the amendments or the treaty that you're concerned about, so that they cannot blame you or say that you're using misinformation. Record a video of a section of the document and then turn the camera on yourself and express your opinion about it. Post that video wherever you want to, whatever platform, you know, multiple platforms, put it out on the internet. But then you can send your video to the people in government and tell them to watch your video, speak directly to them, be the media, and address them and let them know what you think about whatever section you have an opinion about. Take the action that is your right and your responsibility as a citizen to express your opinion about the information that they're trying to hide from us. If you don't want to get into the details of all that is in there, you can certainly complain about the secrecy. I did a Freedom of Information request on January 28th, the day after the deadline, to see if the information had been properly submitted before the deadline. I got a response from the Department of Health and Human Services that's they waited 30 days. And then they said, well, you're number 2,731 on the list. We might get to you in 9 months. Well, that's a little bit too late And they have a legal obligation to provide the information in 30 days. It's not that hard. It was just a document. I found it online. It's a 59-page document. I summarized it down to 13 pages. You can read that on rejecttheamendments.com. It's not rocket science. You can apply yourself. You can read it, and you can understand what they're doing. And the most egregious aspect of it is they want the WHO to be the one who determines what tests and what injections are, you know, authorized for emergency use. Please understand that they charge about $100,000 for that authorization. That's a money-making venture for them. And, you know, then they want, you know, to add in the issues with quarantine and give the WHO director general he already has the authority to declare a public health emergency of international concern, or PHEIC, or FAKE. That's already in there. They would like to add the ability to create an early action alert, which is, I guess, less than a FAKE, or a pandemic emergency, which is more than a FAKE, just because he says so. Now, that would not necessarily be a mandate that anyone would have to do anything. That's the confusion. People are getting that mixed up. What it does is it enables local tyrants to say, oh, well, you know, he said there's an emergency. He said there's an alert. And they use that to coerce people, just like they did over the last 4 years. When COVID was declared a public health emergency of international concern, and then a little time went by and they go, oh, it's a pandemic. That had no legal authority over anybody. It was propaganda, and almost everybody fell for it. So understand that it's your local officials that abused you over the last 4 years. You have to work locally to fix the corrupt legislation.
James Ogreski is my guest today, and he's a senior advisory board member and a director of research for international health for Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. I'm going to remind our audiences out there that all my shows go to podcasts, typically 1 or 2 days after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can also hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure you subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for me. Also, be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the videos, so that we can help secure America's future. We will be back for our final segment with James Ogreski.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. I'm your host again, Lieutenant Colonel Sargasan Giri, U.S. Army retired. I'm speaking with James Rogowski, who's a Senior Advisory Board Member and Director of Research for International Health for Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. In March of 2022, James uncovered documents regarding proposed amendments to the international health regulations and was instrumental in raising awareness about them, which resulted in the amendments being rejected. James is doing everything possible not to expose the World Health Organization agenda behind their proposed pandemic treaty and the WHO's ongoing attempts to amend the international health regulations. James' vision for the future can be summarized by one phrase: out of the WHO and in with the new. I do want to remind our audiences out there that you can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu navigation bar at AmericaOutLoud.com under our show or schedule. You will be in the know. James, as we continue our discussion in this final segment, I have a question. Every time these individuals fail to meet the requirements that are being set, is there anything that the public or the global community can do to address these through a legal process? Is there any way that we can file any paperwork either through the legal systems here in the U.S. or possibly at the international criminal court, if need be, to say that the WHO has violated any of our rights? Because as you were talking and we were saying about how people basically use no even legal authorities to mandate certain things, I know that, you know, when I was looking at the resolution for the medical freedom and individual liberty that the Republican Party in this case, Scotland County Republican Party will be signing to their chairman. It does mention that, you know, that they were mandating that all people to wear masks in public or face civil or criminal penalties. Is there anything that could be done right now to put through the international criminal court, if need be, to force the WHO to have to answer as to why they even missed their own timelines and how they actually changed the processes by which they were supposed to have this so-called discussion on the pandemic treaty?
I'm going to give you a detailed answer because it's important. And there's a video that is one of the six videos that I recommend in my article, Red Herrings, and it's also in the article about the public comment. Please watch those videos so that you do know what's going on. And this is a two-part answer, okay? There is a document in the United States, and I suspect that other nations have very similar documents, which is the Foreign Affairs Manual. There are very clear rules that must be followed when someone is attempting to negotiate an international agreement. You or I can't just fly to Geneva and step into the WHO and say, hey, we're here to represent the United States. That's not how it works. The Secretary of State has the authority, you know, as the office holder, if he's done his proper oath of office, the Secretary of State is empowered to be involved in such negotiations. He's not the one doing that. So anyone involved would need to have received a delegation of authority letter so that they would be handed down the authority. It's like you deputize, you know, Andy Griffith, you know, deputizing Barney Fife, right? You can pass on the authority, but you need to have that paperwork. And there are very serious criteria that need to be followed when anyone is involved in these negotiations. And I do not believe that they are following the proper protocol. So the individual people who are participating in this, I believe, are doing so fraudulently. they are not properly authorized to be speaking for the United States as a nation. They've basically gone rogue. And so in the letter that is being sent to all of these people, the request is placed directly upon the individual. Please provide your delegation of authority letter, or you're held personally responsible for violating the law. They don't get to negotiate on our behalf unless they've received proper authority. Now, that's not the question you asked, but that's the answer that people can deal with. Just send the template that is in the article that I wrote that you can send to the government officials who are involved with this. In regards to the WHO missing their deadline, this one's tricky, and a lot of people have difficulty with understanding the difference between international law and laws that you are more aware of, you know, for murder and theft and other crimes. If you can think of international law more like an agreement amongst, you know, a gentlemanly agreement where it's more on a contractual basis, the parties, meaning all of the individual nations who get together in the assembly, have mutually agreed upon a set of rules that they follow with their assembly. Well, you know, apparently, if they all agree to break the rules, who's going to hold them to account? It would just take one nation to make a ruckus and say, excuse me, 193 nations. And this is a true story. Back in May of 2022, when we had the assembly, there was never a proper vote for the amendments. There was a document that says they were adopted, but nobody ever voted. And therefore, those amendments are null and void. It would just take one honest delegate to call into question in public, in their circle of, you know, delegates, that they're all involved in the collusion of falsifying the vote for the amendments in 2022. We got 12 members of the European Parliament, headed by Rob Roos from the Netherlands, to send a letter to the WHO Director General, politely requesting evidence that a vote was taken. Well, there's been nothing but silence because a vote was not taken. So if you have a cabal of 196 members for the International Health Regulations, and they're all colluding to break the rules that they've agreed upon, you have to call out your delegate for being involved in that fraud, either by silence or, you know, by being involved in actually making it happen. So in the little bit of time that we have left, I want to talk about the proposed framework convention for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response.
James, before you go forward with that, the U.S. delegate, is there any way we can reach him directly?
Oh, that's what the first part, the first segment was all about. All the emails are in my article. Javier Becerra is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. HHS makes it very easy. Everyone's email address is their name with a dot in between. So it's really not that hard. So Javier Becerra is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's the chief delegate. Colin McIff is one of the vice chairs of the working group considering the amendments to the international health regulations. Lois Pace has been a very prominent person involved in these negotiations as a delegate. And on the framework convention / pandemic treaty side, Ambassador Pamela Hamamoto is the person who's in charge of those negotiations. And all of their emails and 100 more are on the article that you can find on my Substack. And so many people have spoken about the quote-unquote pandemic treaty. Well, I'm here to tell you that it would be really good if you could take the blackboard of your mind and just erase it and then get a wet cloth and just wipe it down and clean it completely, because probably whatever you think you know about the pandemic treaty is most likely not correct. It is not an attack on national sovereignty. In fact, in the definition of national sovereignty, in the document itself, part of what they consider to be sovereignty is the sovereign control of biological resources. Now, for most people, that'll be a little bit confusing. What the heck does that mean? You have to understand why these negotiations started in the first place. If you can recall back to the beginning in 2020, somebody said that there was a genetic sequence of the Wuhan Institute of Virology 1 virus. Now, whether you believe in viruses or not, it's not really relevant. Somebody put forth a data file that had a bunch of letters in it claiming to be the genetic sequence. They quickly changed the name to SARS-CoV-2 because calling it WIV-1 is kind of incriminating. And you have to realize how unbelievably valuable that data file turned out to be. Hundreds of billions of dollars were made based on that data. When Omicron, whatever the heck that may have been, very, very different from SARS-CoV-2, WIV-1, was said to be discovered by South Africa and Botswana, they handed it over freely. They made it public to all the, you know, technologically savvy people in the world. And they got kicked in the gut, because what happened was they were greeted with travel restrictions from other nations, really hurt their economy. And then Pfizer and Moderna pirated that genetic information, put it into the boosters, and made a couple of more billion dollars. So the reason why these negotiations are happening, there are many reasons, but one of the main ones, is the relatively poor nations wised up and they said, we're not giving you any of our sovereign pathogen genetic information unless you share some of the quote unquote benefits. This is a trade dispute. This is a venture capital corporate, you know, build out of the pharmaceutical industrial complex based on the desire to be paid for the genetic information of the pathogens that are isolated. So what we're dealing with in the quote-unquote pandemic treaty is they want wealthy nations in the global north to put billions of dollars into a fund that would be controlled by a conference of the parties, a bunch of unelected bureaucrats that, you know, get to meet every year, to dispense the contracts to build out the infrastructure that would go looking for pathogens, bring them into, let me correct myself, they would go looking for pathogens with pandemic potential, bring them into the WHO coordinated laboratory network, where they would be subject to a pathogen access and benefit sharing system. They want signed contracts that they're not going to hand over their sovereign resources unless they get a contract that they're going to share in the benefits when the pharmaceutical corporations turn that into drugs or jabs or whatever. The WHO has a central bio hub. They want to have a library of all of these genetic sequences. Then they want to speed up the regulatory approval, put the WHO in charge of, you know, whether or not something can be used for emergency use. And most important, this conference of the parties would be in charge of a global distribution and logistics network. Tedros proudly proclaimed that in Dubai alone, they have a 20,000 square meter distribution hub. That's 4 football fields. So imagine the corruption that would ensue if you have tens of billions of dollars to be distributed to manufacture products with that are pandemic related, to be put into distribution hubs, and the director general would be able to declare an early action alert, a public health emergency of international concern, or a pandemic emergency, take all of that out of their distribution point, and then get new contracts to refill it. The reason why all of the nations want these agreements to go through is they all want a piece of the pie. They want wealthy nations to put billions into a fund that they can dish out to their buddies while being able to scare people around the world with the threat of disease X, Y, and Z. It's not for health. It's to redistribute wealth, to put it into their pockets while actually damaging everyone's health with the pandemic-related poisons that are really biological weapons. It's really biological weapons, research, development, and distribution and proliferation. The answer is very, very simple. Learn what it is and speak up against it, because that is not how you stop the next pandemic. That's how they would seek to profit from it.
And that's the reason why we have James Rogowski here today with us. James, it was a pleasure having this discussion. Again, James is a senior advisory board member and a director of research for international health for NECSC. It was in March of 2022 when James initially uncovered documents regarding proposed amendments to the international health regulations and was instrumental in raising awareness about them. He's now directly talking to us about what is coming down the pike from the WHO in regards of this pandemic treaty. And James' vision for the future can be summarized by one phrase: out of the WHO and with the new. James, before we sign off, and I only have a minute, just real quick, where can they go get that template again? That needs to be sent out to the individuals that you mentioned earlier in our segment before the 17th of April.
The hard part is spelling my name, so I'll spell it for you. It's jamesrogusky.substack.com, jamesrogusky.substack.com. And if you have any questions, just give me a phone call, 310-619-3055.
James, thank you very much again for joining us today. We'll have you back again before May to see what pressures we're able to put on the individuals who are supposed to be representing our interests with the WHO. Again, thank you very much for being here, and thank you for joining us on this mission to include my audiences. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America with liberty and justice for all. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.